Hey, Lucy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
You know, I was just kind of pondering, just sitting here thinking, if you knew someone who had just received a fresh cancer diagnosis,
right?
You know, what kind of thing would you say to them?
Let me think. Oh my gosh, are you gonna die?
Oh yeah, that's a good one. How about, wow, stage 4? I'm going to miss you.
Oh, I got a good one.
Yeah?
Can I touch them?
Oh, get this one. At least it's not on your face where everyone could see the scars. Besides, you don't really need your breasts anyway.
I got one better than that.
Let's hear it.
How about this one? Well, you've really been needing a vacation. Now you can take one and just lay around and do some reading and stuff.
Okay, here's one. My neighbor's brother's dog walker's mom got that, and she died, and it was horrible.
Oh, no.
And one of my favorites is my friend Lori. Well, she had that, and she never missed a day of work. She didn't skip a beat.
Uh-huh. Good for her, huh?
Yeah, good for her.
Ladies, we're recording.
Oh, is it time?
Yeah.
We're live. And welcome to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
the Chemo Girls.
How you doing, everybody? This is Sharon and Lucy here. And, of course, you can tell that we were just playing around there with those silly things. But, oh, my goodness. Sharon and I have had the best and just the most surprising time researching this subject of what not to say and what to say to someone with a fresh diagnosis of cancer. And we have rolled in the floor at some of the idiotic things that people say to other people.
It's true. And I've wanted to cry. You know, I've put myself in the position of someone hearing some of these things, and I've thought, oh my gosh, how do you even take that?
And then you start thinking, oh my goodness, I hope I've never been
Lucy, I know that I
have. Airheaded enough to say something like, are you going to die?
Yeah, or, oh, goodness, Sharon, are you going to pick out a wife for Tracy? Do you have someone in mind?
And that actually happened to you, didn't it?
Yeah. So
this, we want to talk a little bit today about what not to say, guys, to a friend that you hear of that's got cancer and that's going to be facing treatment and all the things that go along with it. So we're going to have a good time today just going over what to say, what not to
right.
say.
Right. We're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to tell you what not to say, and then we're going to give you much better suggestions. And I want to start it out by saying, you know, I've been in this business of post-cancer diagnosis over 11 years now, and I still, you know, I get both sides of the coin.
Right.
You know, I remember worrying about people coming in the house to visit and wondering what they were going to say to me. But even now, when I go to visit someone, I don't know what to say.
I know.
And what's up with that?
Right.
And you know, Lucy, I know that in so many ways, I'm just sort of strange. You know, I did not have a typical response. So as we researched, I learned that a lot of the things that were, you know, people had said to me and I say, oh my goodness, other survivors, other patients,
right.
they hate it. They really do. And so that kind of goes into understanding that one person will react differently than another. You know?
Right.
And from one day to another.
Well, you know, Sharon, I remember back when you were diagnosed, you were really just very out there with it. You talked about your cancer. You talked about your diagnosis. you know, you didn't hide behind it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my situation was much different. I did not have to go through chemotherapy. I just had my lumpectomies and had the radiation, and I was very private about mine. There are people in my world that did not even know I was going through treatment.
Right.
Because I didn't talk about it, I didn't share it. And, you know, so it's a lesson, isn't it, that everybody embraces their diagnosis differently.
They do. And, you know, you're a people person, and so it's kind of surprising that you wouldn't have shared that. But even now, you know, you just had your lumpectomies and you just had your radiation. I think from the moment anyone receives that diagnosis of cancer at all, you know, we're all in the same boat. We just handle it. We see it so differently.
In different ways, that's
so,
right.
You know, keep that in mind. And as we're discussing this, also keep in mind, this does not just affect the patient or the survivor themselves, but these things are said to their families, to their spouses, their parents, their children, their best friends.
That's right.
And kind of keep that in mind as well as you're listening. Think about it from different perspectives.
So Sharon, with the research that we've done and really our discussion that we've had about our experience, not only ourselves, with friends and colleagues and everything, what would you say that we need to avoid? Can you give us, the listeners, some advice on things not to say, things not to do, things that they really need to stay away from when they're talking with a friend or a loved one about their cancer?
Yeah, I have a lot of suggestions. The first would be really, you know, and everybody's nervous when they walk into this. And so I think we initially draw on our own experience with cancer and we start talking about some story that is familiar to us about how our aunt had had cancer, or this person had cancer. And inevitably, honestly, they typically die in these stories. You know, that don't discuss any other cancer story, because it either makes it worse or it minimizes what they're going through. Just let them walk their own walk. So really avoid talking about any other cancer story while you're talking with this newbie.
That's what we have found talking with so many women that we've got given backpacks to, is they feel very isolated at that moment. They feel like they're the only person on the planet that has breast cancer.
Right.
And so trying to share somebody else's story at that point is just useless, because
connecting them is different. But telling somebody else's story one way or another, that's very different, I think, than two survivors sitting down and talking. That's survivorship. That's mentorship. It's very different. The next thing I'd say is try not to make any sense of it. Don't postulate as to what they may have done that could have caused this, or, you know, did they wait too long, or maybe if they hadn't smoked, or maybe if they'd had children or not used birth control pills. You know, don't try to make sense of it.
Right.
It is what it is, you know.
Don't ask them how they caught it.
And don't even try to postulate how it's all going to work out.
Right.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? You know, do you think the chemo is going to work, or how do you, what kind of gut feeling do you have about this? Or, you know, I think it's just going to be okay. I really do. Those types of things. Don't project into the future and try to figure it out. Let them digest what they're going through now and today. Another thing is don't ask a million medical questions. These people are having to talk about this over and over and over again.
Right.
Just let them talk. Don't ask them. It shouldn't be like 20 questions.
Let them share what is pertinent to them at that moment.
Right. At their own speed.
Right.
And then don't put the patient in the position of comforting you. So what you don't want to come in is just be highly emotional. Oh my gosh, I haven't been able to eat or sleep. I've just been so worried about you, and I can't stand it. And And then they have to say, oh, honey, I'm fine. I'm fine. You don't need to be, you know, don't do that.
Changing those roles there.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Just pull yourself together a little bit. And, you know, patient, you know, they'll understand that you're upset. But just don't put them in a position of comforting you. The next thing I would say is do not say, what can I do? Just call me if I can help. You know, I really would love to help. That's typically very genuine.
Right.
You know, the person saying that means it.
Sure.
But then it drops flat like a rock dropping to the ground. That's it. And Lucy will have some suggestions for you on what to do instead of that in just a minute. Another thing to really avoid is talking about God's will. Lucy and I, if you've listened to our stuff, you know that we are spiritual beings and we have a faith in God. But oftentimes, this is not received well. So kind of leave God out of it at this point.
Even for a person that is very faithful,
yes,
and has a strong belief system, right now might not be the time to say, mm-hmm, just trust God.
Yeah.
This is His will.
Yeah.
You know,
God
I'm
can
gonna
heal
pray,
you.
I'm going to pray for you every day.
Yes.
Well, pray for Him every day.
Just do that.
Just do it.
Because that's between you and God.
Because right now, they're trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of questions that rumble through your mind when you hear cancer.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, why would God let this happen to
mm-hmm.
me?
A lot of people are already angry at God if they have that belief system, and it's not really a time
right
to bring Him into that, or
right,
her, whatever. You know, however you feel about that, it's just not time. And honestly, any spirituality in general, whether it's New Age belief systems, whatever, you know, talking about, well, you've always talked about your breasts were too big, or you've always talked about your breasts were too small, or you've always said, you know, you hope you never have children as a man, and so then they end up with testicular cancer. There are people that believe that you can not feel well about a particular body part,
and it causes that.
Mm-hmm. And you may feel that way. It is not time to bring that up.
That's
at
right.
all. Another thing is, you know, don't talk about karma. You know, well, if you hadn't left your husband 5 years ago and cheated on him with his best friend, perhaps you wouldn't be in this fix. Oh, my goodness. Please don't say anything like that. And don't make judgments about treatment, about decisions. One of the most interesting things that I've heard, a quote was, you are destroying your family by choosing chemotherapy. It's just a money-making scheme. You know that, right? You're just going to destroy your family financially. Wow. Mm. Wow. And so that means if you care about your family, you won't seek treatment?
Right.
You know, try not to judge. Oh, my friend did that. Why would you have a mastectomy? She just had a lumpectomy and she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how often I heard that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, well, telling the man that's going through whatever he's going through, well, a friend of his had cancer and he never lost his hair. It's all an issue of attitude. If you had a better attitude, dude, you wouldn't have lost your hair.
Can you believe it? Can you
yeah.
believe this?
But when they say it,
people say,
they think they're helping. They think they're helping because they want that person to develop a positive mental attitude. They do believe it's going to be helpful,
right.
But it's not time for a judgment.
The intention is good.
Mm-hmm. It is. Another thing that I would say is try not to find the silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be time for that later. Lucy and I are all about, you know, making lemonade out of lemons and that kind of thing. But in the beginning, things are just too raw. Let's not talk about, you know, our experience is breast cancer. So it's so easy for us to speak to that. But that translates into all cancers and people's experiences. But things like, oh my gosh, you're going to get a new set and insurance is going to pay for them and they're going to be perky. I'm jealous. Really? You're jealous of my breast cancer. That's interesting.
Right, right.
And then don't express anything pessimistic. Oh my gosh. You know, it was something you could, that can be said is, oh my gosh, you're going to go through chemotherapy? That's horrible. That's horrible. People just get so sick and lose all kinds of weight. Are you
even lose their hair?
They lose their hair. How are you going to handle that? And are you going to be able to go back to work? What will you guys do financially? Right?
Right.
Let's not do that.
You know, I think, Sharon, that most people, just like we just said, most people have great intentions.
They do.
And I think a lot of these things that are said that are so inappropriate come out of an element of fear and nervousness. They don't know what to say.
Exactly. I think that they definitely get foot and mouth disease. And even after they walk out, you know, they shut the door and they go, oh my gosh, you know, I cannot believe that I just said that. But yeah, they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Another thing is if the person does get emotional, upset, angry, whatever, don't leave.
Right.
Don't leave. Ride out the conversation. Don't leave them. You know, let them vent. Don't minimize what they're going through. Oh, breast cancer? Yeah. At least it's not leukemia.
Right.
You know, well, you're still here. You could have been hit by a truck.
Yeah. That's a common one.
Yeah. Yeah.
We never know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
I could die on the way out today.
Mm-hmm.
Could get hit by a semi.
And in your mind, you're kind of watching that mental image. Ba-doom. here's another one. Don't tell them over and over how great they look, especially if they're green and bald and getting too thin and ashen looking. They know. They get up every day. They look in the mirror. And I know when I've seen people going through treatment, I get this. When you're looking at them, number one, you're seeing an inner beauty because you're seeing them change. You know, you're seeing something inside of them. You're also appreciating something that perhaps you've taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a longer, deeper look at someone that you care about. But you're not going to make them feel better by telling them how beautiful they are, how handsome they are, or, oh my gosh, you should never grow your hair back. You look so amazing bald. Just not the thing to say. Another really common one, this is one that I do a lot. Well, how are you? How are you? How's it going? It's not just the question, because the question is very well-meaning. You know, you want them to know you care about them. You know, you want them to know that you care about the way they're doing and you're interested and you want to plug in and you want to know how they're doing. You want them to give you a good report. But they hear this all the time, and not only do they hear it all the time, there is this what I call cancer face that comes with that question.
Yeah.
And it's this, oh,
how
look,
are you?
Yeah, it's very pitiful. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. very pitiful. And, you know, we're asking a lot of someone to not have an emotional reaction here. But sometimes, I'll tell you how I felt. You know, most of these things did not bother me. But that look on people's faces, I've told Lucy before, way before we ever started in with this, I felt like I was in a casket and somebody was looking down on me and it was a done deal. I did.
Just that look on their face.
Mm-hmm.
That can be more powerful than words.
It is. It is. And another thing I'll tell you is this, and this is out of my own experience. If you never liked this person or got along with them in the first place, don't try to be their best friend now. Not right now. Don't do it because they'll resent that action no matter where it's coming from. So just, you know, and I'm going to let, Lucy's going to talk to us a lot more about some suggestions. But the first one I'd like to give is, you know, try not to do anything too terribly out of the norm.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And Lucy, what do you have for us? I know we've looked and looked, and you've got some great suggestions for us.
Yeah, I think instead of just trying to dive in and be so minute about the questions, mm-hmm. it's to keep things just a little bit more general. For example, just say, you know, honey, I am here for you. And if you need me to do anything for you, or if you need someone to talk to, I am here for you.
Right.
You know, that way you're not trying to say, I know what you're feeling. You don't know what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Most people don't.
Not even if you've been through it yourself.
But for somebody to hear, I'm here for you, can go a long way.
Especially if you back it up.
Another thing, you were talking earlier, Sharon, about not trying to validate, but you can say, this must be a very hard
yes.
thing to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had the words to say, but I don't, but just know that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Another good thing to ask the person is, are you up to having visitors?
Right.
And is there anybody else that you'd like me to contact to let them know that you're going through this? There might be some people that a person going through chemo might want to know and hear from, but they're not going to pick up the phone and say, hey, Betsy, did you hear I had cancer? They're just not in that place right then.
Mm-hmm.
And you touched on something earlier, Sharon, I think it's very important is, you know, if you're talking to a friend or a loved one about their cancer and they get a little angry,
mm-hmm.
just let them talk. Let them vent. Let them get it out. And ask them some open-ended questions like, hey, can you tell me what you're most afraid of?
Yeah.
Or can you tell me what you're most angry at?
And if you're not as close to them, maybe something a little more distant like, has this been a good week or a bad week for you?
Right.
You know.
Right. Not judging the situation yourself, but letting mm-hmm. them tell you where they are in their space mm-hmm. right then. So I think when you can't go in to visit someone that's going through cancer treatment with a list of, I'm going to say this or I'm going to say that. I think you have to get there. You have to judge the situation. You have to read your friend and see how they are that day. And pretty much, like we just said, is just be general about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them talk. Let them know you are there. Let them know that that you care, you love them, and that if there's anything that you can do, that you'll do that for them.
Well, and another thing that I'd like to say that I kind of touched on a minute ago is when you offer to help, and you mean it. Number one, don't offer.
If you don't mean it,
and if you live two states away, and you know what I'm saying, like it's even if you want to help, but you know there's no way, you've got five small children at home, and you're completely tapped, and there's no way you will ever be able to go over there and you know, do their laundry for them, then that's just not the thing you need to pick to say. But if you do, you can say, how can I help you, instead of, if there's anything you need, ask them, what can I do for you right now? What do you need? And then if they say, I don't need anything at all, reassure them, that may be the case right now, but I'm going to continue to check back with you.
That's right.
Because I want to make sure all your needs are met.
Right.
And so so when you think of something, think of me.
Right.
And know that I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to pick up the phone
mm-hmm.
and call me.
But
I am mm-hmm. going to check back
That's
with
right.
you.
That's right. But because today they may not let you clean their toilet.
Right.
But tomorrow they may.
Oh, sure. Because a lot of the time in the beginning you think you're going to be able to manage this.
Right.
But as time goes on, you start to see how unmanageable things can become at times. and you're able to sit back into the hands and feet of other people.
Right, right.
Who can help.
So the point here is continue to check on your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take what they said today as the gospel truth for the rest of their treatment.
Sure, their
emotions.
Continue
to see where they're at different mm-hmm. periods of their journey, and just make yourself available to listen and love and do
right
as the time permits.
And another thing is, you know, become an observer of the situation.
Correct.
In some ways, you may want to ask them questions, but in other ways, if there are 10 people over visiting and the sink and the counters are full of dishes where everybody's fixed themselves a plate and they're sitting around visiting, nab a partner and go clean the dishes. It's apparent.
There's your sign.
There's your sign. Go ahead and do it. Look around. The trash needs to be taken out. The kids are going ballistic in the house. Take them outside and go play ball with them for a little while. Set up a movie. Become an observer and allow some, you know, because we're panicked, but allow your logical mind to set in and just kind of case the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Figure out what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And when they may need a break and when people may need to go on, and you want to check in with them, but don't crowd them.
Right, right.
So
I think that's a whole nother topic.
I do too.
What to do.
What to do.
So many things that have to be addressed in this cancer and cancer treatment world, isn't it, Sharon?
It really is. And somebody asked me a while back, well, how do you come up with your topics? How do you think of all this?
They're there.
Are you joking? I mean, you know, but there's just so much to consider. I don't know that we'll ever run out of topic. With that being said, though, guys,
I think there's job security here.
I think there's job security here. Not that we're, you know, being paid. But anyway, so guys, listen, if you do have topics, though, you know, we won't think of everything because we only have our perspective. Coming from the perspective of a man or the child of or the parent of a patient, patients of different types of cancers, please let us know what topic you would like for us to explore, and we're on it.
Yep. We love to do our research, and we love to talk to other people and gather it all up, and because it's not just on what you can read on the internet or in a book, but it's what happens in the real lives of people as well.
That's
that
right.
That we like to bring it all together and make sense of it and bring that information to our listeners.
That's right. So we just hope that all of this will give you a little more confidence walking in to a situation where you want to know what to say.
So if you got any suggestions, guys, any topics, mm-hmm. just go to our website, thecancersurvivorshow.com, and leave us a comment. Let us know what you'd like to hear from us.
That's right. And just remember, they don't expect you to have the answers. You know, just be there for them. And I think that's a wrap, Lucy.
That's right.
We've done it. We've opened the box. There'll be more on this topic. So you reminded me. I almost forgot the tidbit. Sister, do you have a tidbit today?
I have a tidbit today.
Not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day.
I do, Sharon. I have to say that a week ago was Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and we had the most atypical Thanksgiving, I think, that we've ever had in our lives. My husband and I traveled up to the mountains of West Virginia and stayed in a little cabin with several young couples and their small children. And we were totally blessed with 6 inches of snow a beautiful mountain landscape that was just covered with snow and ice. But the story of not just surviving but thriving came from putting the stresses of Thanksgiving on the back burner
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the moment.
Golly.
We didn't even, I don't think the girls in the house even put makeup on that day. I can guarantee you, I did not fix my hair.
You, Lucy.
I brushed through it and put my sunglasses on top of my head, and we even took pictures.
You took pictures.
No makeup.
No hairdo.
That's right.
That's a good vacation.
And I'm telling you what, the joy of seeing those little kids come sliding down the mountain hill on those little snow discs and laughing and coming up and saying to me, Miss Lucy, this is the best vacation I've ever taken.
And you said,
it is mine too. And it was the simple things of that day.
Sure.
I just wrote a blog about it. If you want to read my whole story, you can go to our website, mychemococktail.com, and it's our blogs are under In the Press. And you can read the whole story on our wonderful Thanksgiving holiday in the mountains. But the tidbit for that day is it doesn't have to be fancy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make a lot of work
right
out of bringing joy to other people's lives.
That's right.
And that's my tidbit of the day.
Well, that's good. That's great, Lucy. I tell you, as I saw the information coming through Facebook, I was kind of wishing I was up there with you guys. It looked awesome.
I'm taking you back, Sharon.
It looked awesome. So, all right, guys. We're going to let you go now, but, you know, we're going to be back. We'll be back. So, as always, keep in mind that Lucy and I are not just surviving, but we're thriving with you.
Bye now.
See you later.